Let's look deeper to see what consciousness really may be. Let's talk about the planes of existence. Where we live, where consciousness can come from. Shall we? A plane is like a whole world, where certain things are obvious, certain things are possible, while other things aren't even possible. The two main planes I know of are the horizontal and the vertical plane. The valley of the shadow of death. So, humans, almost exclusively, live on the horizontal plane. The plane gives what they can see, what they know, what they are afraid of, what they want. The horizontal plane is life under the constant shadow of death. Under the threat of death. In scarcity. They, humans, add right or wrong, good or bad, aka morality to everything. So we could safely say that the horizontal plane, current human consciousness, is the plane of right and wrong. Good and bad. Judgment. On this plane, what isn't is more important than what is. So the opinion about anything is more important than the thing itself. When people are asked what is good, they don't know. But when they are asked what is not good, you can't shut them up. The horizontal plane is also the plane of all about me. And the plane of having. The consciousness is, have do be. When I have what I want, then I'll do what I'll do, and be what I want to be. Just try it out, you say, for example, when I'll have confidence, then I'll do what I'm asked to do, and then I'll be whatever. The exact opposite of the vertical plane. And highly ineffective. Like putting the cart in front of the horse. Now, let's look at consciousness through the tree of life, the 10 emanations of God consciousness. Humans are located in Malkut, kingdom, where being above another is good, and that is the only real goal of life. When I look at my students, what they secretly want, although won't say it directly, they want to be seen as being more, better, superior, or at least different than others. That is Malkut consciousness, the horizontal plane. It gives you your pain and suffering. I looked at the 20 highest ranked sites on the question in Kabbalah, and muscle tested if their consciousness is in fact a high consciousness. And muscle test said to all 20 no. I am grateful that I didn't have to go through many hours of low consciousness drivel. Ugh. So Kabbalah, how it is currently viewed, may not be the path to get to see consciousness from the point of view of the tree of life. Maybe because it would be like seeing the back of your head. And the current Kabbalists have forgotten that they can bilocate, and just go and look at the back of their head. Easy peasy. Instead they write and talk from inside their heads. From their self-centered, self-justifying, selfish point of view, because they don't even think that there is another way to see, speak, write. They have no access to anything else. If you cannot put your eyes higher, or different than where your physical eyes are, then you are trapped in this physical level of existence, on the worldview of the horizontal plane. That is very significant. It's being trapped there why people are miserable. Why they just want to get, to receive, instead of earn, work towards what they want. And because the worldview says you start with have, they are pissed at how it is. That they don't have. So my best-selling activators sell well, because the understanding is that they will give you something without having to work for it. Inside this worldview, people don't understand why things don't happen the way they want it. I want it. I have it. Instant. This is why bogus laws are taught. Like the law or manifesting, or any of the happy horseshit, including access consciousness, and the many bogus healing modalities. From inside your head it seems so easy and so natural. Except that if you could look from the side at life, at yourself, you would see that it isn't natural at all. Getting requires activity, and time. Time. Time is the distance between cause and effect. If there were no time, no distance, people would not choose to do or not do, they would only obey threat or obey pleasure. And guess what? That's exactly what they do. Except for very few things, there is a distance, time, between cause and effect. Not like touching the hot stove, and the burning of your hand. In the reframing challenge, in the stories people try to reframe there, what keeps certain behaviors repeating without any inkling of the consequences is the invisibility of cause and effect. Not being able to see the cause and effect relationship between worldview and attitude. Attitude and behavior. Attitude and actions. Actions and results. Makes it impossible to navigate life successfully. The more murky and undistinguished is the relationship between cause and effect, the lower the consciousness of a person. I would think that the first thing missing is self-awareness. Or let's try a different word. Conscious awareness, astuteness about one's attitude, one's behavior, one's role in what one is doing. The underlying intention, the pull, the worldview. This is really a head-scratcher, I am having a distinct feeling that this has been what's missing. Clarifying, revealing what is underneath. This may take my people out of the unconscious behavior and shed light at the motivation of the actions that has caused suffering, confusion, hurt, and devastation. The why on earth would you want people to think that you are smart? Behavior in my case. What does it really add to my life that people would think that I am smart? Or that he is important in B's case? Special in H's case? Talented in M's case? Superior in J's case? Like, why wasn't it their attitude to actually change who they were, in earnest? Why did they consider that changing what others thought of them was more important, or enough? First off, there is this gap between what people feel about themselves, and the way others treat them. There is, also, another gap between how one thinks they appear to others and how they are actually treated. And it seems that how you appear to others, and how you are treated is what you hope will get you what you want, not what you do aka earn, and not how you really are. This is main source of inauthenticity, or pretense, of lying. What is ignored, not recognized, that without a perfect match between inside and outside, you are out of integrity. And that without integrity nothing will work. Because, like with time, cause and effect, the hammer will drop, eventually. And without actually becoming who you want to be seen as, your life is a sham. And that is the cause of suffering. Your suffering. This is why when after pretending for 49 years, the moment I accepted and owned that I wasn't as smart as I wanted to be seen as, I could start working on getting smarter. I could if that was important to me. And it was important to me to be smart. It has always been important to me. Whether it is important in life or not is not the question. The question will be, is it important to you? But signs of being smart. Understanding instructions. Doing the right things. Etc. are very important. Being able to tell if something is going to be right or not, reading the writing on the wall. Hell yeah, very important. Being able to decipher people's intention underneath their pretense and lies. Saves you from a lot of pain. And suddenly I found myself not caring what people thought about me. I could put my efforts into getting smarter, instead of making errors. Pretending. I began seeing a difference. It is not knowing more, but seeing more that is smart. Seeing more connections, more dots to connect. Seeing the cause and effect relationship between things, in spite of the time. Paying attention to subtle signs, feelings, especially feelings like disgust, or distaste when looking at people. And interpreting them as seeing. Noticing when I see, and noticing when my eyes see, but I don't. Noticing when my ears hear, but I don't. Catching my attitudes, catching my nastiness, catching blaming, complaints, pointing my finger at things or people. Seeing myself from the outside, and see how I actually cause myself what I complain about. In 1996 my IQ, my measurement, was 100. Over the past 27 years, but especially in the past 7 years that number climbed to 190. Would I clock 190 IQ on a state administered test? Muscle test says no. So what does that 100 and 190 measure? It measures astuteness. What is below and what is above what the limited perspective of the human mind can see. Is it consciousness? No. Is it smart? Hell yeah. How do I know? It has a cause and effect relationship with life. I am happier now than I have ever been. Because I accept how things are. I see, accurately, 91%, how things are, which is exactly what others don't see. Also, I don't see things as right, good, wrong, bad. Even when some things I'd rather have differently. That only lives for me as a preference. In my health, my energy level, pain or its absence, clarity or its absence, steadiness or its absence. The quality of my sleep. The quality of my relationships. Being able to bring nothing wrong to my teaching, this is the hardest. My hunch is that if I can open people's eyes to the fact that instead of trying to appear something they could actually be that something by working on their beingness, not on the appearance, not on how they appear to others, they could actually start feeling good about themselves. Can they do it? Muscletist says yes. But, of course, as always, we shall see. Let's look at this being more interested in what others say about you than who you really are more. Let's look at this phenomenon in the 8 billion and the 1,000. Let's ask the question this way: what is the size of the gap between who someone pretends to be, what someone pretends to have mastered, and the actuality of both? In percentage. No gap is 0%. For the 8 billion the gap is 100%. For the 1,000 the gap, average, is 7%. Me, personally, my gap is 1%. But it wasn't always this way. The crucial turning point for me was in 1996. I was a magazine publisher. I worked 14-hour days, 7 days a week. I had employees, but they barely pulled their weight. So I worked day and night. My advertisers, each and every one of them, was stupid in my valuation. Not educated, not sophisticated. But rich. One day it dawned on me that smart, what I wanted to be considered, wasn't the answer. These stupid, uneducated people could be millionaires, while me with my master's degrees, I was a pauper. So I started to pay attention to not their education, not what I thought was a sign of smarts, but what they did. Even though at the time I didn't see much. But I did see at least that I didn't see it. I saw that there has to be something there that I don't see. I became curious. Curiosity opens seeing to the degree that curiosity is not an idle curiosity. It opens observation, and no judgment. It was really slow going. But it was interesting. I was clear that I'd fooled no one I cared about. Fooling stupid people is not a big win in my book. So I continued being curious. Staying aware, alert, and conscious. I started to hear guidance in the most unlikely places. Like the low IQ tow truck driver I have shared about in an early article of mine. He taught me reframing. No degrees, no education, immense wisdom. The more I saw, the further I could see. Obviously, is it obvious? I wasn't curious about everything. I am curious about the human condition. It is a bottomless, inexhaustible well of invisible dynamics. This one I just discovered while writing this article. That people consider it more important to be seen as valuable than actually being valuable. Want to join me on a webinar to explore it? Being or pretending to be is a temporary title. I promise it can set you on the path of getting to be who you can be. Because you haven't been on that path, have you? Like it set me on my path. Not only am I happy, which seemed impossible back in 1996, I am working less hours. I am actually healthier, boggles the mind, doesn't it? And have better relationships. Ultimately, I am happier with myself. I definitely treat myself better. Looking from the side, as if I loved myself. Lol. Do I feel love for myself? No. That starry-eyed romantic love? Not at all. But I take care of myself, as if I did. And that is enough for me. I love myself unconditionally. The way Source means self-love. Not by society's feeling-based yardstick. We'll do a workshop. It will let you see how it works in your case. And how it has robbed you of your ability to be happy with yourself, to live your potential fully. It will be the newest session of a series called What's the Truth About You? What's the Truth About You? It's free to you if you have bought all 8 videos. If not, it's $97. And if you are in my current challenge, then it's $24. I'll email you the link to pay. No time set yet. It will be, most likely, on a Thursday at 12 noon EDT.